Well, I mentioned our Learning to Serve program just a few moments ago, and we've been studying some great characters of the Bible in that program this year. And I'm very thankful to Sister Sylvia Williams for the good job that she does at directing that program. And next month, we're going to be looking at the character Solomon. And so I thought we'd have a lesson about Solomon this morning in anticipation of that program next month. You may wonder, well, why didn't I have the lesson a little bit closer to the second Sunday of the month? And it's just because of the way the schedule is and what's coming up and what's going on. And so we had to fit it in somewhere. So I went ahead and decided to go ahead and present some information this morning on Solomon. And so this morning we're going to look at lessons from the life of Solomon. So I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. Open with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, and let's read verses 5 through 15. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verses 5 through 15. You may recall this story from the life of Solomon, that God offered to give him anything that he desired. And so that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit here as we look at the Lord's appearing to Solomon at Gibeon. So 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes, my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. So we remember this story as the one where Solomon asked for an understanding heart, and God gave him a wise and understanding heart that he could judge God's people. Well, God told David that Solomon would be king, and that Solomon would then build the temple instead of David, who really desired to build that temple. And so Solomon's life began with a great purpose. But Solomon also had problems within his life. He was not perfect in what we would think of as being perfect. Just like David, he had trouble, and he multiplied wives to himself that led him into idolatry. 1 Kings 11 and verses 1 through 3 says, "But nevertheless, Solomon left us with a great amount of wisdom in his from his life in the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. And the end of that book, he has drawn this conclusion at the end of his life. He says, 'Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. And so Solomon offered some great service to God, even though he had troubles in his life and even though he created some of his own problems. Nevertheless, the Bible says that he wrote the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verses 32 through 34. And so Solomon was a notable character in the Old Testament. There's three things that I would like for us to focus on this morning in regard to Solomon's life. And in thinking about these three things, I believe that we'll learn some great lessons that God wants us to learn from the life of Solomon. First of all, we learn from the life of Solomon that in all you're getting, get wisdom. And Solomon certainly did that, and he certainly did tell us how to do that. And so we can follow his example in that regard. Secondly, we learn from the life of Solomon that earthly things cannot satisfy. And this is largely the message of the book of Ecclesiastes. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And then finally, we learn from Solomon that marriage is important, but that God always comes first. And that's something that we see a great example from Solomon in his life. So let's think about these three things. First of all, in all you're getting, get wisdom. We've just studied from 1 Kings 3, verses 5 through 11, that Solomon desired an understanding heart and that God gave him a wise and understanding heart. And as a result of this request, God not only gave Solomon those things, but also great wealth and power and prosperity and a lifetime of peace. And what a blessing that was in and of itself, just to have that life of peace. And unlike his father David, who was a man of war, Solomon was a peaceful man. And so, but wisdom was what started all of this, and the desire for wisdom. And Solomon writes about his desire for wisdom and how we ought to desire wisdom as well. In fact, the book of Proverbs is given to us to teach us about wisdom. And if you would like to know, have wisdom in your life, then I would suggest you go and read the book of Proverbs. It has a tremendous amount of wisdom within it, and it will help you greatly. In fact, the purpose of the book is to impart wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. And the word wisdom is used some 53 times in the book. We see wisdom personified in Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 33. And in fact, the whole first chapter is designed to convince us to study the rest of the book so that we can have wisdom within our life. Wisdom brings happiness, Proverbs 3 and verse 13 tells us. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. And then wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. We also read in Proverbs 9 and verse 10 that the fear of the Lord begins with wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And so in order to have wisdom within our life, we've got to fear God and put Him first. We see that wisdom is more valuable than the most precious substances on the earth. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16, which says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen, than silver." And so even more precious than silver and gold is wisdom and understanding. And that's something that we should develop within our life. Wisdom is something that we need to hold on to and not let go of. In Proverbs 23 and verse 23, it says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding." And so those things are to be desired, they are to be obtained, and they are to be held onto at all costs. Wisdom is the principal thing indeed. James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 5 that we need to pray for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid, and it shall be given to him. And so let's ask God for wisdom ourselves in our life today. And wisdom was certainly one of Solomon's great desires, and we need to make it one of our great desires as well. And so in all you're getting, get wisdom. And study the book of Proverbs for that wisdom, because it does have a tremendous amount of things to say about wisdom and how to get along in this life with others. But then the second great lesson that we learn from Solomon is this, that earthly possessions cannot satisfy. And God certainly gave Solomon a great amount of earthly possessions, riches, silver, and gold. In fact, the Bible says that the kingdom of Solomon was so wealthy that silver was like stones on the ground. You could just find it everywhere. That's how wealthy the kingdom was during Solomon's time. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 27. And so wealth was something that Solomon had, and it was something that he used to get what he wanted in life. He had wealth. He had power, the Bible teaches us in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 26. He had 1,400 chariots and 1,200 horsemen. Solomon also had an abundance of relationships. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, 1 Kings 11 and verse 3 says. He had a great amount of peace in his lifetime. He had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tifsa even to Asa, over all the kings on this side the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. 1 Kings 4 and verse 24. Solomon truly had it all. And if you could ever think about any person in life who had it all, Solomon had it all. But you know, it wasn't enough. And it never is enough, because this earth can never satisfy us, regardless of how much wealth we may have, regardless of how much power we may have, regardless of how many relationships we may have, regardless of how much peace we may have in this life. This life is never going to satisfy us. And so in 1 Kings 3 and verses 11 through 13, God told Solomon, he said, you know, because you've asked this thing, and you've not asked for long life or riches or any of this, I'm going to give you all of these things. And so God gave Solomon all those things that, you know, a lot of us think, well, if I only had all these things, then I would be a happy person, you know. A lot of people think that way. But Solomon was not a happy person, at least for a large part of his life. Now, at the end of his life, perhaps he finally found a measure of contentment and joy in the Lord. But it had to be in the Lord. It wasn't in the things of this life. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes at the end of his life to communicate this very point to us, to let us know that he was one who had it all, but yet all of those things could not satisfy him. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 2 tells us. And so he concluded that all of life was vanity. Even though he had great riches, even though he had great peace, he had wonderful relationships, he had power, he had dominion over all the kingdoms of the earth that were within Israel's borders. Nevertheless, it was all vanity. He said, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail has God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the Spirit. Ecclesiastes 1 and verses 12 through 14. You see, Solomon used his great wisdom, his great wealth, his great power to try to bring happiness to his life. But he was not able to do that with those things. Solomon thought that his own wisdom could save him. Now that's key to understanding it there. His own wisdom. But even this was vanity. Ecclesiastes 1, 16 and 17. Solomon thought that he could satisfy his life with pleasure and mirth. But this was vanity. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 and 2. Solomon thought to give himself food and wine and all kinds of wonderful things to enjoy. But this was vanity. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 3. He built houses and vineyards, and he had servants galore. Yet he called it vanity, emptiness, meaninglessness. Listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes 2 and verses 10 and 11. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I did not withhold my heart from any joy. My heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the Spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. In regard to power, Solomon said, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Better yet, yes, better is he than both they which had not yet been, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. That's what he had to say about power in Ecclesiastes 4 and verses 1 through 3. In regard to riches and wealth, he said, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10. In essence, what Solomon was saying to us is this: I have done it all, and there is only one thing that is constant and that you can depend on your entire life and that can satisfy. Fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. And so we learn from Solomon that earthly things simply cannot satisfy, and they are all vanity. But then he finally tells us at the end of his life that the most important thing is to keep God in our life and to fear Him and to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But then finally we learn this lesson from Solomon. Marriage is important, but God always comes first. Solomon had some great successes in marriage, but he also had some great failures. He succeeded in marriage in that God inspired Solomon to communicate the joy and love of a good marriage in the book, The Song of Solomon. And one can scarcely read that song without understanding the wonderful joys that are found within marriage. It conveys the idea of love in marriage. Chapter 2 and verse 4 of that book. It also conveys the idea of friendship in marriage. Chapter 5 and verse 16. But then it also talks about how love, that marital love, is more important than all material things. And what a wonderful message that is in the Song of Solomon. Listen to this verse. It's beautiful. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it, that is, that substance, would be utterly condemned. What a beautiful thought, that love surpasses all things upon this earth. And it's a great message that we need to communicate today as well within our relationships with one another. But Solomon failed in his marriages in that he allowed his wives to influence him in his relationship with God. You see, Solomon disobeyed God, in whom he was authorized to marriage. He loved many strange women, 1 Kings 11 and verses 1 and 2 says. And he married women that the Lord said that he was not supposed to marry. He also disobeyed God by allowing these women to draw him after idols. Listen to 1 Kings 11 and verses 4 through 8. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. And so Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise he did for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrifice unto their gods. Now, because of Solomon's disobedience to God in these matters, God divided the kingdom of Solomon and took 10 tribes away from him. And Solomon failed in that regard. And so even though Solomon was a wise person and he had more wisdom than any other, and even though at the end of his life he seemed to have learned the lesson that he needed to learn in that regard, nevertheless, he allowed others to influence him in a sinful way. And we need to be careful about our influence as well. The Bible tells us that evil companionships corrupt good morals. And we need to understand that when we have friends and others within our life who can influence us in the wrong direction, that that can become a problem for us. And Solomon certainly let it become a problem within his life. And so we need to be careful about who we make friends. And we certainly need to be careful about who we decide to marry, our closest friend and companion that we will have within this life. That be a person who will be someone who will encourage us and help us and support us in regard to living the Christian life. And so in that regard, marriage is important. But God always comes first, and we need to put God first even in regard to our marriages. And Solomon teaches us a great lesson in that life. Well, we could talk about Solomon for a long time. There are so many things that he wrote and so many things that he did, and there are many other great lessons. But if you can remember these three, then that will be a wonderful thing. That first of all, in all you're getting, get wisdom. And study the book of Proverbs. It's a wonderful book to read. The second lesson, earthly things cannot satisfy. And we need to fear God and keep His commandments. And that is what will ultimately satisfy us and bring us the greatest amount of joy within our life. And then finally, that marriage is important, but God always comes first. And we need to make sure that our marriages are serving God first. And let's put God first in our life and try to please Him. And so this morning, we look at the life of Solomon. We say that it had some successes in it and it had some failures in it, just like anybody's life would have. And sometimes we can allow our failures to overcome us, as Solomon did for part of his life at least. I hope that he had enough wisdom to see at the end of his life that he needed to repent of many of the things that he did. But nevertheless, his deeds are recorded in the Scriptures, and they are there for us to learn. And we can surely learn from them. But we make mistakes within our life as well. And God is there to help us and to guide us and offer forgiveness for us when we go astray. And as Solomon went astray, God offered forgiveness to him. And I hope that he took advantage of that within his life. And so this morning, if there's someone here who needs to take advantage of God's forgiveness because of the mistakes that he or she may have made within his or her life, then this morning you have the opportunity to ask for the prayers of the church for forgiveness of those things. If there is someone who needs to become a child of God and turn away from sin and turn toward righteousness, then you can do that this morning by coming to Christ Jesus. You know, Solomon wrote many things, and one of the most beautiful things he wrote was about the relationship between husband and wife. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that that husband and wife relationship symbolizes Christ and the church. And what a beautiful relationship that is and that can be. And when we become a child of God, when we are baptized in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sin, Paul tells us that we are marrying ourselves to Christ. Romans chapter 7 and verses 1 through 4 teaches that very clearly. And so, is there anyone who would like to give themselves to Christ this morning and to fulfill that greatest of relationships that we see in this world, the relationship of husband and wife, and to fulfill that in a spiritual way with Christ today and to become part of the body of Christ, become part of the bride of Christ, which is the church of Jesus Christ? Would you experience that wonderful relationship that God would have you experience in His Son today? And if you need to respond to the invitation this morning to do just that, then we invite you to come while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.